It's time for Tower Talks with Inside Towers, the wireless infrastructure industry's podcast. And here is your host, Inside Towers business editor, John Celentano.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This episode is sponsored by Inside Towers Intelligence, a quarterly market report that dives deep into the wireless infrastructure ecosystem. It looks at market trends, capital expenditures, relevant M&A transactions, and more. Intelligence is designed for managers, marketers, and investors. An annual subscription also includes an exclusive briefing and online support. The 2023 Volume 3 issue is available now. For more information or to subscribe, visit insidetowers.com/intelligence. Interesting topic today. The digital infrastructure business offers a lot of opportunity given the continuing demand for broadband and mobile data connectivity, and the specter of artificial intelligence having a big upside impact. There are opportunities for a company which is focused on vertical markets like towers or a portfolio of assets including fiber, small cells, and DAS. At the same time, there are challenges to acquiring and owning and operating a portfolio of infrastructure assets. StratCap is a company that is steadily building its wireless infrastructure portfolio. Here with me today to talk about the company's progress and outlook is Todd Raleigh, CEO of StratCap Wireless Group. Todd, welcome to Tower Talks.
Thank you, John. Glad to be here. Appreciate it.
Very good. So give us a high-level view on the company, Todd, and where you play in the wireless infrastructure business.
Sure, absolutely. So, StratCap Wireless, we really formed our first fund about almost 5 years ago now. And, we started with a team of people that really came out of the wireless industry, and we all kind of had wireless telecom operating backgrounds. And we saw kind of where, the industry was headed. We saw 5G coming on the forefront, and we knew kind of further investment in the digital infrastructure space, really specifically towers, rooftop easements, and data centers were, going to be an area of high growth and really critical core assets to the wireless carriers and telecom operators across the country. And so, that's when we formed our first fund and put the StratCap Wireless team together and have been, aggressively growing since then.
That sounds good. Give us an idea of the mix of assets that you have today and where that fits into the overall wireless business.
Sure. So, our first fund, which we refer to as Swift One, we formed, as I said, almost 5 years ago, and we acquired about 106 towers in that fund and a handful of rooftop easements. We're really focused in that first fund on towers and rooftop easements. We kicked off the second fund about a year and a half ago, and, over the next 30, 60 days, we'll now kind of exceed 110 towers in that portfolio. And we also have acquired a couple of very attractive data centers, one in Silicon Valley, the other one in St. Louis, look to continue to aggressively grow, with that kind of asset mix. We do look at and, do have targeted, some fiber assets, DAS, small cell, but really haven't found the right opportunity at this time yet. So,
It's interesting. We get into a number of discussions about M&A opportunities, and you hear things from, well, there's not that much out there right now, or that which is out there, the multiples that are being asked and what the buyers are willing to pay seems to be at odds. But are you seeing that there are potential acquisition opportunities?
Well, it's interesting. I think we get a lot of our news based on, the publicly traded companies that are out there. And, obviously that makes sense. But, we are a private fund and we're not publicly traded. And as such, we really aren't affected as much by, the stock market's ups and downs. We've actually had, the best year of our existence over the last 9 months, and seen a lot of growth. We, you know, continue to see a lot of deal opportunities, and have been really pleased with the growth that we've had. I do think we've seen some pullback from, you know, some of the public companies, you know, just kind of due to the, you know, stock market circumstances and other issues. But I think we've been very well positioned for, you know, the growth and, you know, continue to see a lot of transactions. And we're, you know, looking to aggressively continue to add assets to the portfolio.
There's a lot of small private tower companies that are in different stages. I would think there's some opportunity to do some roll-ups there.
Yeah, that's absolutely something as we kind of look at our strategy and opportunities. We certainly look at that. You know, the developer community is also a very strong, you know, channel for us. We work with a number of developers who are out, you know, kind of building towers. And, you know, kind of contrary to a lot of information, the carriers are actually continuing to add, you know, lots of towers to their portfolios, some for, you know, expansion of coverage, but others really for density and starting to fill in, you know, some of that capacity. So that's been a really important area to play also.
Are your tower assets, are they geographically dispersed, or do they, have you tended to sort of cluster them in a particular geographic area?
No, you know, we really will look at anything kind of in the, you know, kind of continental U.S. and, you know, Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico. And we are not opposed to looking at some assets, you know, Canada, Mexico, maybe even Latin America. So, but as of today, our assets are primarily in the, you know, continental U.S. And we have ended up with some clusters in kind of the Southeast, kind of in the Florida, Carolinas areas, some good clusters up in the Northeast, and then a bunch kind of in the North Central, kind of from, you know, Wisconsin, Minnesota, the Dakotas on down, you know, through Texas. So it's been an interesting the way kind of a lot of that has played out, but we don't necessarily target a particular geography.
Sure. You're building towers as well, are you?
You know, we are not specifically building towers. We've decided that, you know, we're trying to stay lean and profitable, and, you know, keep, and so we're working with companies that have that expertise so we can kind of gain access to those skill sets, and partner with them and really bring some of our expertise to the table, access to some of our capital, and really work on a structure whereby, you know, as the tower is constructed, built, put on air, you know, we have a relationship with that developer to acquire it at that time. But we do not have an actual kind of tower construction team at this time. Gotcha. You know, as we get larger and we scale a little more, you know, then, you know, that might be something we look at. But as of right now, kind of from a profitability perspective and focus, you know, we think it's best for us to really acquire, you know, operating on-air assets when we get them.
I gotcha. That makes sense. You know, as an operator, who are your main customers? Who do you cater to, basically, once you have the assets in your portfolio?
Yeah, you know, almost 75% of our tenants are the big four carriers, you know, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, US Cellular. And so that they certainly are, you know, our primary tenants. But we also have a good mix of kind of first responders, some regional wireless carriers, you know, like C-Spire and others. You know, we have some WISPs, you know, we have some enterprises, we have broadcasters. So we do have kind of a good mix. I mean, it will be interesting to see, you know, how the whole private networks and enterprise space starts to play out. We actually think that, you know, we're likely to see areas and that area boom. But as of right now, our, you know, our primary tenants are really the major carriers. And, you know, we look at them as, you know, we like to think of them as partners, you know, not just a tenant landlord kind of relationship, you know, because we've all come out of the wireless operating space. You know, we think we have an appreciation for how the carrier wants to be treated and what's important to them, and you know how to work with them best as a partner. You know, I have a background kind of coming out of Sprint Nextel. Scott Riggs, our chief operating officer, came out of an AT&T affiliate that they sold back to AT&T, and our EVP of strategic initiatives, Eric Graham, came out of C Spire. So we have an interesting mix of, you know, senior leadership that comes with a lot of wireless operating background.
Yeah, well, you know what it's like to be on the operating side. So that's, I think that's really beneficial. Yeah. You know, just a quick sidebar, you know, I live in the Baltimore area, and I was living here when Sprint Spectrum turned up. In 1995, I think it went live in mid-November, and I was down at the Sprint store at the end of November. And I think I was one of the first couple hundred people to have digital cellular service in the country, you know. So I'm, you know, I'm calling people as I'm leaving, going back to my home in the suburbs, and I hit the county city line, and all of a sudden it flashes up on the phone. I had a little Ericsson phone. It flashes up, no network. So I said, well, I guess we got more work to do.
Those were definitely the hard early days, right? But exciting times. I actually joined Sprint in 99, so a few years after they launched, but a number of my close friends, you know, we're like employee number five, you know, so, and, we have a lot of good conversations, about those startup times.
Yeah. So the position you're in now, you understand, you know, where these operating companies would like to go and what they'd like to do. And I think it probably positions you pretty well in terms of serving them.
Yeah, I mean, we feel like it definitely positions us well with respect to serving them. I think it really positions us well to kind of underwrite the assets. I mean, I think we have a good feel for, you know, the technology, where it's headed, you know, what's 3G, what's 4G, what's 5G, what's 6G, you know, the importance and implications of the different spectrum bands, what those mean from propagation issues and how that affects network design and equipment at the towers, you know, what they're going to need both today and more importantly tomorrow, kind of like where is the puck heading, right? Yep. And so, you know, as we're making our acquisitions and looking at opportunities and working with the carriers, we're certainly looking at, you know, where is this headed? And, you know, we think we're still, you know, very early on in the 5G build out. I think, and as we move forward, I think you'll see a lot more density, a lot more fill in, additional sites, and obviously a bunch of new applications that develop. And, you know, we saw that with 4G, and we think that's going to happen with 5G.
Sure. How important is it to have, you know, kind of a one-stop shop approach where you would own a tower and have fiber connecting to that tower, or, you know, is there enough available? It doesn't really matter that you need to own it. You can always lease it. But I was just curious about that. And I guess I'm answering my own question in some ways. The carrier would contract for the backhaul, whether it's from you or from a third party.
Right.
But how important is fiber to the tower in your applications?
Yeah, I mean, obviously fiber is a critical core element to, you know, the network and the network operations. You know, the carriers definitely need, you know, good, strong throughput coming from the towers back to, you know, their switches and aggregation points. They also want some redundancy, you know, so that they have, you know, alternative paths. You know, in an ideal world, we would have both available. But, you know, in our current world, I mean, the tower infrastructure asset is, you know, unique enough that that's not going to prevent a carrier from being at one location or another.
Sure.
We love the fiber assets and what it can do and how critical it can be, but I don't think it's a prerequisite or a core critical element to operating towers and being a one-stop shop. You know, the carriers are going to shop that part of it regardless. You know, you got to look at the fiber business on a standalone basis.
Great. Well, this is great, Todd. I'd like to wrap up. Any final thoughts or comments you'd like to leave with us?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, final thoughts would be that I think we're headed into a very, you know, interesting time with where 5G is headed, let alone what happens with 6G down the road, a lot of different applications to develop. We think that, you know, StratCap is a uniquely positioned company because of our management team, our experience, our background, our access to capital. And, you know, we're, you know, very interested in continuing to work with, you know, tower owners, bankers, brokers, tower developers, and other telecom players out there in the space and, you know, in the data center space also. And so, you know, I think as, you know, companies are looking for partners or potential monetization opportunities, you know, we think we're very well positioned, you know, to be that person that somebody wants to work with. And so we look forward to, you know, continuing to expand our business and, you know, working with the industry on a very positive basis.
That's great. Well, we appreciate the interesting conversation, Todd, and we look forward to your progress. So.
Well, thank you, John. Really appreciate what you guys do at Inside Towers. It's a daily read for me, for sure.
Great. We appreciate the feedback. But thanks again, and thanks to everyone for listening in. Stay tuned for an upcoming Tower Talks episode. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to Tower Talks. To subscribe to our podcast, our daily newsletter, or use our other industry resources, please visit InsideTowers.com. Until next time, you've been listening to Tower Talks from Inside Towers, the wireless infrastructure industry's podcast.